This is Tom Reber from the Strongpreneur Podcast, and in this episode, I talk with Misty Williams, founder of Marketect U. She's a marketing strategist and author of Mobilize, Blaze Your Path and Ignite Your Influence. She works with speakers, coaches, authors, bloggers, and consultants to grow their businesses. She is an expert in marketing strategy and execution. In this episode, we're going to talk about risking it all and following your calling, how CEOs can leverage the different platforms available to them and position themselves as experts in their industry. We also talk about what it means to be sticky and what to do when your confidence is low. If you like this episode, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review and make sure you subscribe to the Strongpreneur Podcast. Without further ado, let's motor hard with Strongpreneur Misty Williams. Really fired up to have you with us today. So what's going on in your world?
Oh, just excited to be with you too. I've been looking forward to this. You're doing so many cool things, and I'm just honored that you asked me to come join you today. We're going to have a great conversation.
We are. Well, I think we met once in person, and that was at a internet conference in Chicago, and a big group of people went out to grab some pizza or something like that, and we were part of that group, exchanging information. And
yeah, it's been fun keeping track of you.
It is. So tell tell us about Misty. What makes you tick these days?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I can answer this question so many different ways. I think people in my space, and I really get the same feeling from you, Tom, and what you're doing in your career right now, but we typically choose these paths where we're, you know, packaging our knowledge and expertise to do something special in the marketplace. We choose these paths because we have a real sense of calling, and we want to do something really intentional to contribute and give back with whatever it is that we carry, right? So for me, that's what Marketect U is really about. I feel like my calling in life is supporting people in actualizing their full potential in the world. And, you know, it shows up in the way that I end up working with people, but that's really what lights my fire. And I've been, with the new year, focused on growing our team, and we've actually added 5 new team members over the last, I don't know, 45 days or so, which is intense. I'm sure you know, Tom, from your days of having a team that you had to manage. So working a lot on that, and just and focusing on communicating better, figuring out, you know, what do we need to do to support people, not only people that hire me, and, you know, to come alongside and support them in developing their game plans and helping them, you know, get some market domination, but there's a lot of people that don't hire me directly, and I want to be able to support and contribute to them too. So I got to figure out how to communicate what I do really intuitively, and that's its own challenge. So it's great. I'm super excited for 2015, man. There's some awesome energy in the air.
Well, I look forward to hearing a little bit about that. I know, it seems like this communication theme is just running crazy in my life right now with clients of mine and potential clients and guests I've had on here, where it's such a source of strength in a business. You know, it either makes or breaks you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when your team's not all in the same place, I was speaking with a company not too long ago. They have, they're almost a $2 million business. And we estimated that they're probably losing about $20,000 a month.
Wow.
Not losing money, but they're just not, they're $20,000 a month less efficient.
Mm-hmm,
just because of some of their communication within their own walls.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. I know you got so many irons in the fire, and we've got certainly a limited amount of time here today, but starting out, how would you define a strong business? What are some things that come to mind?
You know, I think if you were to ask me this question at different phases, I would probably answer it differently. Ask me in 6 months and I would answer it differently. The revelation that I've gotten over the last, I mean, I've kind of always known this, but it's been super poignant in my face, you know, over the last probably 18 months or so, is that your business is going to grow and be as big as your sales funnels and lead generation allows them to be. I talk to a lot of people in the space who that, you know, that I work with, that really are brilliant and amazing, and they do great, great work. They've got gifts, and their talent is legit, you know? And the only thing that's keeping them from really being more successful and doubling or tripling their income is poor lead generation. It's rampant in this space because when you like what I, in what I do, I would say this is true for my business too. What I do is, you know, come alongside and contribute in a way that's meaningful to me, you know? And so I want to, that's the work I want to do. And that's where all my attention and energy goes. And, I'm not as excited about getting out. I'm not as excited about getting on the stage personally. My clients, almost all of them do in some way, shape or form. And there's this drive in them to want to be up on the stage. And I just don't share that drive. I'm fine if I'm up on stage, and I'm fine if I'm not, you know, but a business is only going to be as strong and sustainable as its lead generation allows it to be. So that's kind of been my soapbox over the last year, not only with clients, but with myself too. You know, I was really fortunate for a couple of years, I didn't have the bandwidth even to take on a new client. So lead generation was the last thing on my mind. But last year when I decided I wanted to do some different things in my business, I ended up terminating my largest client to be able to do it. And then suddenly I cared a lot about it.
You couldn't have hit a better nerve with me on that one, because I the same thing. I mean, I'm a coach and I'm a speaker, and I don't know, it's probably about a year that went by when I realized, holy cow, I don't really have a lead generation plan.
Mm-hmm.
I was fortunate to do some work with some great people that referred me, and to be part of, you know, a couple real niche communities.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, there really wasn't a whole lot going on.
Right.
And I, you know, now I know you've worked with, you know, coaches and authors and speakers and you've worked with musicians, correct, back in Nashville? I mean, so seeing all this massive talent, but, you know, all of us falling short in that area of lead gen is pretty...
Well, and it's not just, I mean, so like I have some really fun opportunities right now in my business where I'm not just working with people that traditionally fill the speaker, author, coach, trainer role. I'm actually working with some businesses where the CEO can leverage a platform as a subject matter expert and take advantage of all these different channels for growing that web of influence for their company, you know, so he can get out there and speak, and he can do podcasts like I'm doing with you today. He can, or she can go to these networking meetings. They can start a blog, you know, I mean, there's so many channels on the marketing front that you can leverage if you open yourself to this idea of being a subject matter expert about something. You know, I was, I don't know if you're familiar with Basecamp, but Basecamp is the project management tool that we use, and I've actually been a customer of theirs since 2008. It's stood the test of time for me. But I was checking out their website, and their CEO has a couple of books out and is really known for building his company in a really unique way. You know, he's got contractors, and I don't know if they're contractors, actually team members, or they might be full-time employees, but they're located all over the country. And so he talks a lot about that and what it's like to build that kind of team. And that's not Basecamp. It's a collaboration platform, you know, and a project management platform, but it's, you know, he's taking it a step further and talking about like a bigger issue in the space and a bigger opportunity that we all have to build these virtual businesses. And I think he's done a really brilliant job of putting himself in a position to be able to leverage all these platforms and channels, you know, because otherwise if he doesn't do that, doesn't put himself out there in that way, he's limited to advertising, a little bit of engagement on social, but he basically has to spend a lot of money. You know, you've got to partner and do trade shows, and you know, what is the chance to get out in front of people? So, you know, being an expert really does give you some unique marketing and promotional opportunities.
Well, and people pay more money to hire the expert.
Yes.
You know, and so with that being said, if I am a coach or somebody else is a coach or speaker, and they're trying to learn how they can leverage different platforms. What advice would you give somebody getting started on how to choose which one to leverage?
You know, I actually don't make the decision that way, or I don't support clients in making the decision that way. The very first thing that you have to figure out if you want to move into this space is, who do I want to serve? And get clear on what that market looks like. So the first thing that we'll have people do is kind of define their niches. What are the words that those people are using to describe what it is that they want or need or what they're looking for? What are the search terms they're using? You know, that sort of thing. And then we identify the communities online that they're part of. That's the awesome thing about how the world is changing right now, is that what used to be centralized into mass media, you know, if you wanted to get in front of people, you bought advertising on one of three channels, right? What used to be mass media is now governed by the people in these niche channels and communities. And, you know, there's conferences and events around all sorts of different topics. So the world's really different. So you got to figure out what that ecosystem looks like first. Mm-hmm. You know, once you have a sense of how the ecosystem is built around the niches that are going to actually buy from you, then you can start making decisions on what channels you should be showing up in and what conferences you need to be attending and where you need to be networking and that sort of thing. You know, that's the only way that you can make these decisions and hedge your bets at the same time. Building social channels takes a lot of time and effort and energy, I'm sure, as you know. So, you know, to just carte blanche say, I'm gonna be in a channel, I'm gonna blog. So that's a really good example, actually. I need to start blogging. So people spend so much time and energy blogging. Blogging's a commitment to do. So the challenge is, how are the people that you wanna target going to find your blog? How are they gonna find it? Oh, okay, they gotta find it, crap. All right, we need to think about SEO. You know, how do I SEO these pages? And then you're off on these rabbit trails, right? Having to optimize the crap out of your website. And, you know, okay, so how else are we going to get people to find? Blogging is actually an inferior channel in a lot of ways, because unlike YouTube for videos or iTunes for podcasting, there's not a place that you go other than Google itself to search blogs. You know, but if you're looking for podcasts, you can go to iTunes. They've got tons and tons of traffic of people that are looking for podcasts. YouTube has tons and tons of traffic of people who are looking for videos.
Yeah.
There is no blog tube.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think we should start it then.
Maybe so. I mean, it's called Google in a lot of ways,
right?
But then you're just competing with so much content. You're competing with every channel imaginable, you know, and people who have so many conditions set that are going to give them rank over you in Google every day of the week.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting you say that about blogging, because that's predominantly how I've built my coaching business.
Uh-huh.
I would create content. People would, you know, land on it, find it, whatever. They'd start reading my stuff, subscribe to my newsletter, and 6, 8, 12 months later, they call me up and say, hey, I like your stuff. I'm ready to be coached.
Uh-huh.
But that being said, I have noticed, because I've been pretty consistent with it over the last couple of years,
uh-huh,
is I've noticed that there's a lot more work to be done and a bigger audience and a bigger platform, which is exactly why I started this podcast. It's exactly why I'm personally starting to do more video,
mm-hmm,
because I did see that at some point I need to expand my reach.
Yeah, and the thing about a blog is, like, if you just blogged and that's all you did, if you didn't leverage other social channels to give your blog some reach, you probably wouldn't have gotten even the traffic that you've gotten, you know? So a lot of it is just the art of understanding how to leverage all the different channels and creating content for the different channels too, you know? I mean, it's, if I don't know what your target audience is, like who they are and how they're finding content online, there's not a carte blanche answer that I can give as far as, you know, where do you get started or what do you do first? Because everything that you do is going to be in response to what the marketplace wants and needs and how they're organizing themselves and consuming content, you know? So if you're new, that's where I would tell you to start, is you got to figure out who's buying this and what does that landscape look like? So maybe a practical example would be, you know, the client that I worked with for a couple of years, I actually managed his entire business. And He was and is an amazing neurosurgeon who has some really interesting ideas on health and maintaining health in the human body and, you know, all these other things. So whenever I started working with him, the thing that he had done that was so powerful is he went out to all these paleo forums and participated in conversations. And he would seed his people back to his blog. He went to these different events and met the leaders and served on panels and gave talks and met people in person. And then after meeting these people, he always gave them something to talk about. He's very sticky. His content's very sticky and he's very polarizing. So he got people talking good or bad. So these people would leave a conference and then in all of their channels, they'd be talking about what happened at the conference and they would talk about this neurosurgeon. So by going out into the marketplace, figuring out where people were that would want this content and constantly seeding it, showing up, he was able to build a huge following for his blog in a relatively short period of time.
Well, I was going to ask, how long was this process? Because that's, I mean, that's a massive amount of work you're talking about.
Yeah, and you know, he is an anomaly. You can't look at his path and just to say, I'm going to do his exact steps and get the exact same result, because the way he breaks all the rules, his blog posts, 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 words. Mm. It's ridiculous. They're so long and they're hard to understand. He's a neurosurgeon. He talks a lot of science. But he went to the right community. The people that are engaged in the paleo world typically have had health challenges of their own, and they realize that if I'm going to figure this out, I've got to understand some of the science for myself. So he went to the right community with his content, and he's also really polarizing. He will make you talk, good or bad. So he had these different conditions that were just part of who he was and how he showed up that really served him in getting out there. But in 12 months, this is perspective, and you're not going to appreciate these numbers if you're not in this world, but anyone that is in this world and has tried to grow a blog can appreciate this. And especially if you try to launch a member program. In 12 months time, actually, I don't even think it was 12 months. I think it was like 8 or 9 months. He launched a member program to this community. We're talking from zero, no website, to launching a website within 8 or 9 months, launched a member program. And it started generating for him at the bottom rung $8,000 a month.
Wow.
Like that is,
that's huge.
Bananas.
Yeah.
Because you,
yeah,
you have to have, in order to convert that many people to members, you've got to have a lot of eyeballs on you. You've got to have some right. serious influence in the space and a lot of people following what you're going to do, because you're only going to convert a fraction. You know? So if you convert 100 members, you've got to have, gosh, probably a couple thousand people at least who are part of the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So how do you get 2,000 people to pay attention to what you're doing and become like pretty loyal followers and fans? You got to build that relationship over time. So, and you got to be in the right places too.
Yeah, so you used a term earlier, he was sticky.
Yes.
Tell us what that means to you.
So he had a message that people wanted to hear, and he communicated it in a way that was really intriguing, got people's attention. I just did a podcast on this actually. You might want to link to in the show notes, Tom, with Rachel Martin. My very first podcast out, and you should interview her too if you haven't. But I bet Dan turned you on to her. She is the sticky queen, okay? She's awesome. She's a blogger. She's the co-founder of Blogging Concentrated with Dan Morris, whom I believe you've had on the podcast.
Yep.
So Rachel is so authentic and connects emotionally so powerfully that people resonate deeply with her and they start following and basically clinging to her every word. To be sticky, you've got to be really authentic. You have to know how to connect with people. Know how to connect with their pain, their frustration, know how to really see them, you know? Sometimes what makes something sticky is that it inspires a lot of fun. Sometimes what makes people sticky is that it sees deep into their soul, you know? But there's something resonant in a message for it to be sticky and compel people to want to share. So, like, I think about what I'm going to share on Facebook. I'm going to share things that align with my values. Mm-hmm. I'm going to share things that make me laugh. I'm going to share things that strike me as profound. I'm going to share things that see me, that authentically resonate with something deep inside my own experience.
You know, that's such a cool way that you explain that, because, you know, the word authenticity is thrown around quite a bit. You know, you mm-hmm. need to be authentic. You need to be authentic. And I talk to a lot of small business owners that are afraid to share too much.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think one of the best examples in my own life and business and my blog, I guess, would be, you know, I have three kids that are adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared a blog post. I wrote a blog post called Why Firing Blanks Was the Greatest Thing That Ever Happened to Me.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that thing went like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, I mean, I was getting emails, and it just touched such a nerve in people. And I think, I mean, what do you tell that business owner that might own a landscaping company or a printing company or what? How do they be authentic? How do they do it without, when they're afraid that it's going to hurt their quote unquote corporate image or something like that? Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, everyone is so different. Like, I can only speak from my own experience and my own journey. I think authenticity starts with a really internal awakening. I know that sounds woo-woo, but that's the only way that I can really experience or explain it, because I think about the people who I respect as being really authentic, and those people are willing to embrace and see the good and bad in their own experience and the way they show up in the world, and they're willing to accept it all. You know, I accept that there's things I'm really good at, and I accept that some things in life I'm not good at, you know? And if you don't have the courage to let it all live inside of you and to see it all, I don't know how you show up as authentic. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because authenticity is such a private internal experience. You know, if I'm being authentic with someone, I'm being open and I'm being kind of real and maybe even a little raw. Mm-hmm. You know, your blog post resonated because you were honest. And you told the truth, and you had courage in telling it. You know, I think one of the hallmarks of authenticity is courage. You know, we have to be brave to be authentic. There's always a risk. And I have to say, like, in my work, one of the things that I'm known for in my one-on-one coaching is being really safe. Mm. You know, my clients can... we can talk about anything. I can go there. I can go to really deep, private places, and we can talk about the reality of what's happening. And I'm really good at making them safe, okay? And creating a really safe space. And it creates breakthroughs for my clients. But here's where I'm not as good. On my website and my own blog, I'll share stuff. Hmm. And I really, like, authenticity is a value of mine. So it's something that I'm looking for in my life, and I'm cultivating out of my life. You know, I want more authenticity in it, and I want to bring more authenticity out. I one of the girls that we hired is working on the launch of Creative Entrepreneur Radio, which is my radio show that I just launched a couple weeks ago. She's been working with me on that, and we've got a lot of really fun ideas that we're exploring. And I keep talking about stuff that's happening in my life, and she'll say, oh my gosh, you should blog about that. Oh my gosh, you should tell that story. Oh my gosh, you should share that. And it's like stuff that it would not even occur to me to share it.
Yeah.
You know? So one of the things is I've got a lab that's 11 years old. I could probably start crying right now just talking about this. His name's Oliver. I've had him since he was 18 months old. And if you've got any dog lovers that are listening, they will completely appreciate the journey of watching a dog that you love get old. Mm-hmm. So I, like, even right now, I can feel the quiver in my voice. I was talking to Yvonne about this and telling her, like, oh, this is happening with Oliver, and it's so hard to watch. And, You know, he's just not getting around as well as he used to, and just going through all of the nuances of what this experience has been like. And she said, it's going to be amazing to me on the other side of this, whenever Oliver crosses the Rainbow Bridge, which, you know, I mean, he's old. It's not going to be much longer. You know, hopefully I'll get a couple more years out of him, but you know, the lifespan of a lab is around 10 years and he's going to be 12. Mm-hmm. So, she's like, I'm really curious to see what that story is going to be like and how that impacts you and how you end up writing about that on your blog. And it was like, why would I writing about that on my blog? You know, like,
yeah. So how did that make you feel when she said that?
Whenever she said that, I was like, wow, there is crap that happens all the time and every day that I could be sharing. And it doesn't even occur to me. I mean, it was just kind of like people would be interested in that. And then I kind of think of other people that share in that way. And like, I would totally tell my clients to do it. Mm-hmm. But I have the same blind spot that all my clients have. You know, you really do need that muse that is helping you see things. There's a saying, when you're inside the bottle, you can't read the label. And I think that's really true. You know, and I can say this with a lot of confidence, my genius is helping people build out their platforms and communicate this stuff. Like, I know I have a special gift, but you would never know it, by the way.
Yeah.
Things work in my own business. Like, I turn into an idiot. I do. I just do, you know? And it's cool. Like, I get it. Like, I work with my clients on all this stuff, so it does not surprise me a bit that I don't see a third of the potential for what I could be saying, doing, and sharing in these channels, you know? So,
well, you know, it's funny is, don't you think that if in any type of business that this would be important, it would be with a coach or an author or a speaker or a consultant, because somebody that's going to hire us is going to get really deep at times with what's going on. And they got to really truly know who you are if they're going to feel
trust
good.
You.
Exactly. And so, all right, well, that's my challenge for you is,
yes,
is to your next blog post it within 2 weeks.
Raw,
I'm going to give you 2 weeks to take a step a little farther than you went last time. Can you do that?
I totally can do that.
Right,
and you know,
good.
I don't even think that there's resistance to it as much as, like, I just don't even see it, you know?
All right.
Interesting.
So you mentioned, you know, you believe you're gifted with this, with your clients and stuff. So obviously you seem super confident now.
Yeah.
Was there a time that you weren't?
Every day. That's an ironic answer, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I know this is my calling and I know I'm good. I mean, you're not doing it for 12 years. If you're not good, you know, you don't make it. But I am constantly pushed up against the limits of my own experience and understanding. I mean, growing a business is for gladiators, dude. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I am challenged all the time. I'm challenged all the time. My big challenge as a business owner right now is there's so much that I personally have done for my clients to help grow their platforms that I realize that the more things have to come through me as a channel, the less I'm going to be able to do for my clients because I become a bottleneck. So what am I doing? I've hired these people. I was super intentional about who I found. I wanted strategists, and I put them through the ringer when I interviewed them. You're going to show me that you're good, you know? Mm-hmm. So I found what I think is great people. I'm now developing them and whatever. But putting all those processes and systems together and handing it over and trusting them to do the work and then continuing to build out, like, now I'm just going further. I'm going further than I've ever gone before with my clients because I'm getting all this leverage. So every day, like, am I really doing this? Am I making the right choice? Am I leading well? You know, am I missing something? I mean, every day. So even though I'm really confident in what I'm doing, I live on the edge, you know, and there's days that go by that I'm just like, oh man, I hope I'm not really screwing up, or today was a crappy day, I just effed it today.
So what do you do when your confidence is low?
You know, I try not to juice it, to be honest with you. I'm pretty good about, all right, I'm feeling defeated or I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'll acknowledge it. Like, I don't try to stuff it and pretend like it's not there. Mm-hmm. But I don't give it a lot of attention. And for me, that really is what works the best because, you know, they say where your focus is, that's what you're going to manifest. Where your focus goes, energy flows, right? So I don't want my energy to go toward all the terrible things that could actualize if I fail. You sure. know? I want my energy to go to, you know, what's going to happen? What am I going to do to keep from failing? Or how can I stay focused on creating the outcome that I want? So it's a muscle. It's a muscle just like anything. I mean, uprooting your life, which is what I did last year, moving from Nashville to Austin. I did that last June.
Two really cool cities, by the way.
Oh, amazing cities. I know.
I mean,
most
people move from like an armpit to, you know, right. pretty face, you know, but you're moving from two. Or
I know.
Two
They're both
here.
Awesome in their own way too. I'm partial to Nashville. I can't help it, but I love Austin. I mean, it is an it city for a reason, you know? But, you know, I uprooted a lot of things in my life and letting go of my biggest client and just making all of these changes. I mean, it was a big, big year for transitions for me. And I could hear myself saying a lot of times, this is where you get to practice what you preach. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the hard stuff. All these transitions and navigating it. I mean, the only way you can get through it is if you lock in to creating positive outcomes and don't let the fear distract you, because it can be so debilitating that you won't create the amazing outcome, you know? But I think this is why a lot of people don't make it as entrepreneurs. It's not because they're not good. It's because this mental game, they don't win it, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's what's between your ears, you know?
Yeah, when you were talking before we got on the interview here, you and I were chatting, and you were talking about that energy that you have and that you show up in business with. Just, you're not necessarily the smartest, but you know how to motor, you know how to keep going. Mm-hmm. And I would say that your superpower on the surface looks like your motor, but your superpower is your resilience.
Cool. I just learned my superpower.
Did. Because it doesn't, like, I don't care how great your motor is. If you start tossing things into that motor and it locks it up, it's game over, baby.
Yeah.
You know? So you've got to not only have a great motor, you've got to be resilient. You've got to be a resilient person, and you've got to foster resilience. It's a muscle inside of you. And, man, that's where the game is played.
How have you fostered that in yourself?
Oh, I'm a junkie. I'm a personal development junkie. I went to my first Tony Robbins event when I was 25. I was in my last, no, I think I was, no, I was in my last job. It was either in my last job or it was right after I left and went on my own. I freelanced for a few years before I started Marketech U. So I went to my first event, and I had just read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I don't know if you've read that book. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I'd listened to Tony's Personal Power. And it was rocking my world. You know, I don't come from an entrepreneurial family. I do have a mom who has always cheered me on and wanted me to own my own business and really believes in me. So that was the insanity that had me watch out on my own so young, you know. But I remember reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And one of the things he talks about, Robert Kiyosaki talks about in that book, and he illustrates so simply, is the difference in how the rich think about money versus how the poor or the non-rich or the non-wealthy think about money. And I think he does an amazing job in that book of helping you see and understand that it isn't about the steps as much as it's about how you think that's going to make you rich.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling like, holy crap, like I got it, that I got the mindset part, but that doesn't mean I knew how to change my mindset. You know, I had this feeling like whatever has programmed me up to this point, I need to somehow erase the disk, but then I still have to load new programs. And I didn't even know what programs I needed to load.
Yeah.
You know? So I went to my first Anthony Robbins event. It was amazing. I highly recommend Unleash the Power Within and all of his stuff. And I've spent the last 15 years of my life figuring out how to get the right software on my hardware. I mean, I feel like I'm barely scratching the surface. I had a come to Jesus moment a couple of days ago when I started reflecting not only on the last year for me, but the last 20 years. And I am closing the loop in so many areas of my life where I have just like diligently tried to figure out how to create better outcomes, you know? And I figured out pieces. So it's like, it reminds me of that scripture, you know, right now we see through the glass darkly, but one day, you know, when we're face to face, it'll be clear. We'll see clearly. And I feel right now like I've been going through my life seeing through, you know, smoky glass
right.
in a lot of ways, but I have been intentional and worked really hard on who do I need to become? How do I need to grow and change? And I'm going to be 40 this year. And I think part of it comes with, you know, just crossing that threshold into 40, but I'm closing the loop in some amazing areas of my life, but it's a journey. I've just been dedicated to it. And not only that, I've been blessed. I've been dedicated and I've done my work and I give myself credit for that. But I have had unbelievable people come across my path and I am lucky in that way, you know, and I'm grateful, very, very grateful.
So you share this, you know, over this last 15 or 20 years, this journey you've been on. If the old you could see the new one, what would the old say?
What a question. I think the old me would be wide-eyed and wow. Not even that I feel like I've just scratched the surface on what I can become, but what I've learned along the way and who it's making me as a person, I didn't even know to dream this for myself. You know, I didn't know what I didn't know. So I think the old me would look at the new me and be like, wow, you know, I still feel like, wow, the new me yeah. feels wow.
Do you feel like at some point, like, even now, things are going well, but don't you feel like, man, I'm just getting started?
Oh, totally.
Isn't that a cool feeling?
I am just getting started. It is a badass feeling. It is. I do feel that. I feel like I'm just getting started. Like, I feel like I can finally get started. That's almost a different way to say it. I can finally get started, man. You know, it sounds almost silly because I'm so far in, but man, the future is bright and there's a lot of potential that I'm looking forward to actualizing. Not only in my own life, but I just think of, you know, I'm 12 years in of refining my work, which is my legacy, you know, and there's so many ways that I want to give and elevate this community. I mean, marketing is what I do on the surface. It's how my work gets labeled. It's why people pay money to work with me. But what I really do is I support people that are on the same journey that I'm on. And it's really why I can support them in the way that I do, because I go so deep in my own journey and have done so much of my own work that I can come alongside and almost be a pacer for other people who are also engaged in a similar journey. You know, I think about, I used to run half marathons and had some adrenal issues and had to stop, or I would totally do it. I'm a junkie for that stuff. But I remember the first time I ran a race, seeing people, I don't know if you've ever raced, Tom, but seeing people hold up those signs that say like 2:15, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to finish in 2 hours and 15 minutes, you run with the person that has the 2:15 sign. They're pacers for the race. And they help you like as when you start getting weary, you know, and you want to slow down, they help you keep your foot on the gas because they're pacing you, you
yep.
know?
Yep.
That's what I feel like I'm able to do with my clients because I'm putting myself through it too.
Well, I think you are, this is just my take. I think you're so successful with your clients and you're helping them realize their vision and all that other stuff because you've purposely taken the time to make yourself strong.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe that we can ever become, you know, I was telling a buddy a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know, you're never going to become the leader you were meant to be until you've had your nose bloodied a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And until you've, you know, built yourself on purpose.
Right.
And
I love that. Built yourself on purpose. That's a good one for you. Build yourself on purpose.
Thanks. I'm going to write that down.
You should. You're a genius.
But you know, so many of us look for the easy way.
Uh-huh.
And if you just think about physical training, just think about weightlifting. If you're a weightlifter, if you want to lift more weight, you know, if you want to lift 100 pounds more next year than you do this year, you have to put a little bit more weight on the bar every day. You got to get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I don't believe it's any different for our personal development. You know, if there's things that we're afraid of, then, you know, go a little further tomorrow than you did today.
Right.
And build that habit of pushing yourself. And I think because you've done that over the last 15 to 20 years, you have the confidence and the success you're having now with your own business and with your clients and all that. Hey, I already forgot what I was going to write down. What was I going to write down?
Build yourself on purpose.
All right, cool. I'm going to write it down right now.
Yeah, you should write it down this minute. That was good.
Yeah, I got a great memory. It's just short. So,
well, fortunately, we're recording this. So.
Yes, that's true. So listen, I've had a blast. As we kind of bring this thing home, I guess, share with us what's next for you. Where are you going? And just what's on the horizon?
Yeah, well, you know, I just launched my show, too, creativeentrepreneurradio.com. You know what's next for me is developing a community of creative entrepreneurs. That's really what's next. And I'm not even sure exactly what that's going to become. But you face a different set of problems when you're 10 years into the entrepreneurial game than you do when you're just starting out. And you want to have a different kind of conversation. From a marketing or business perspective, you know, there's a bigger pool of people who are wanting to become an entrepreneur or just getting started as an entrepreneur. Much smaller pool of people who've made it 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
But for me, even though it means I'm targeting fewer people, that conversation is so important to me personally, and building a community to support people like you and me, Tom, who've been doing this a while, just really lights my fire. And so I want to build the creative entrepreneur community, and I want to create space for us to have some of these deeper conversations about tackling real problems and challenges in our businesses, because there's not a lot of resources out there, you know, for people that have been doing it a while. We're operating at a different place, at a higher level. You could almost, if you think about it from the perspective of money, it's almost like, okay, once you've done all the basic investor stuff, you know, and you've got mutual funds and whatever, and you're just wanting to go deeper and do some, mm-hmm. what the outside people would say is riskier stuff, where do you learn that? You know, and who teaches you that? Finding those communities is a bigger challenge. So I think it's the same for entrepreneurs. So that's a big thing that's next for me, is really developing that community. And I'm going to take on more clients than I've ever taken on before because of how I'm building out my team. And that just makes me excited because I just believe in what we do. You know, we're going to be able to help more people, which is awesome. And I'm doing more speaking, and it's one thing to do the work. And I bet you know this just from, you know, building the business that you ended up selling. It's one thing for you to do the work. It's another thing for you to teach people how you did the work.
Yeah.
You know? And I find with Marketech U that teaching people how I did the work is its own challenge for me. And I'm totally up for it. Like, I'm a communicator at heart and I really want to figure it out. But that's like part of me engaging more and blogging more and doing the podcast and everything else, is because I can only work with a finite number of people. But I believe in what we're doing so much that I want to find a way to communicate it so that other people can harness the distinctions and leverage it in their own business and really benefit from the processes and formulas and systems that, you know, I've developed over 12 years. I mean, I'm a systemizing queen. I think Dan plugged that in the interview.
He did. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I systemize everything. He teases me because no one's allowed to assign tasks to me in our system. It's true. And every now and then a new person will be like, Misty, this is for you. And I'm like, no, that's actually for you. And if you don't hear from me, get come on my calendar and get it from me. You know, but you know, I'm pushing out all the time, going into new areas. And that's what I want to do with my mental RAM. I want to find a new area to figure out and bring it in, systemize it, leverage it for all of our clients. And then I want to push into a new area and figure that out, bring it in and, you know, do it over and over. So I'm engaged in that kind of work and it's a blast. So, I'm having an awesome time. I'm hitting a stretch in this journey that is full of a lot of creativity for me. And you would think that doing marketing, I'm in a creative space all the time, and that's kind of true, but this is just a different kind of creating that is really energizing. And you know, it's motivated not only, I mean, I'm a business owner, I definitely want to make money.
Yeah.
But that's, I don't get up every day because I want to make money and do this work. You know, I get up and do this work every day because I really, really believe in the potential of the human spirit, and I want to support it and elevate it in every way that I can. And so I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to explore some new things and to push into new horizons and, you know, leverage all these amazing channels that we have and opportunities that we have to really make a difference. So
a couple of years ago, I was having dinner. I could tell you the story another time, but I was having dinner with a guy named Jerry Nelson. He's about 85 years old. He's one of the founders of Ticketmaster.
Uh-huh.
And my wife and I were down in Cabo San Lucas, and we were hanging down there, and we were with Jerry. It was an awesome time and super kind guy. And I asked him, I said, Jerry, what was the point in time when he's had like 44 businesses?
And he said, my gosh.
I said, what was the point in time that things really started to, you know, work?
Uh-huh.
You know, when it really just came together. And without hesitation, he answered, when I learned to get out of my own way.
Yeah.
And so I bring that up because although this is a relatively new podcast, you are, you're my 12th interview.
Uh-huh.
You are the first ever that I'm asking back for a part two.
Oh, great.
Because I would love to talk systems and how to get out of your own way. Because
yeah.
The phrase you said earlier was like, you don't assign stuff to yourself.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to let that go. I want to capture that because I guarantee you there were people listening to this just now that were like, oh, give me more of that.
Yeah.
Because I hear that all the time. Because when I think business owners, a lot of them, they hear the word systems and they get all puckered up.
Uh-huh.
And they freak out and it's scary.
Right.
You know, what does that actually mean? So would you be willing to set up another time in the near future?
Oh, sure. And let me say something about that too, because this is a really interesting way that I think this journey is co-created by the souls that come alongside us. Because the only reason that I even know to say something like that, mm-hmm, is because I was having a conversation with Dan one time. We were working on some stuff in his business, and his to-do list was so long. And I looked at him and I was like, why do you have this to-do list? I mean, like, why are you the one doing all of this stuff? I mean, he had places he could get leverage. He just didn't, you know? And he was just like, I mean, I don't know. I got to do it. And the process of giving it to someone else. I mean, you know, we'll save that for the next podcast of like all things,
sure,
that get in our way. But I said to him, I said, you know, in my business, I never assign anything to myself. And he looked at me and his eyes got big and his jaw dropped. And he reflected that back to me. He said, you never assign anything to yourself?
Yeah. You know how many people are calling BS on that right now, listening to this? They're like, come on.
It is.
How does that happen?
Damn truth. Never assign anything. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have things I'm working on. I'm always working on something. I am constantly in create mode.
Oh, so you're not just hanging out doing
that. I'm not just hanging out. But when it comes to implementing on stuff that's coming through for our clients and executing on all these ideas and plans we create, not one of those steps is assigned to me. Now, I'm engaged and involved in all of it.
Right.
But it's not assigned to me. So I personally don't have to create the flow. I don't have to use my energy to, like, you know, make it go. People come to me and I leverage their flow, right? So, but I didn't realize what a profound concept or thought that was until Dan reflected it back to me. And he says it all the time. She never assigns anything to herself, you know?
Yeah, well, in my world, this is like an alien spotting or something. So this is.
I know, right? I will come back and we will unpack
we
that.
Will.
We'll
we
eat
will.
That elephant one bite at a time.
That's awesome. So if people want to find you, how do they do it?
You can find me online at marketectu.com, MarketectU, the letter U. You could even misspell it, Y-O-U, if you want, .com. And I am everywhere. I am on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and whatever as TellMisty, TellMisty. So real easy to find me. We have a Creative Entrepreneurs Facebook group, too. So Facebook is your thing and you want to network with other entrepreneurs and you've been an entrepreneur for, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10, 15 years or more, would love to invite you to join us over at the Creative Entrepreneur Facebook group.
That's good stuff. Misty, thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
And, oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
And I look forward to setting up part two.
Awesome.
And all that. So, all right, everybody. Hey, don't forget to check out Misty at the links that I'll provide here in the show notes. And take one thing that hits you today. Just pick one thing that hits you, put it into practice, wage your own war on mediocrity so that you're, you don't live your life as a total unachieving slacker. Okay? And but none of this stuff is any good unless we do something with it. And again, Misty, thanks again. And everybody, thanks for checking out the Strongpreneur Podcast. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you.